This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, February 8th, 2026. The Heart of Worship, Priesthood.
I got a really good prayer to go into a message with. It comes right out of the book of 1 Samuel. Remember when Samuel was a boy and he heard God's voice, didn't know God was speaking, and Eli told him, what did he tell him to say? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So let's just pause. Let's pray. And our prayer is, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Sit with that for a moment. Give him your heart. Give him your attention. Give him your surrender. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In the name of Jesus, amen. Good morning. What a great day. You warmed up? Warm enough? Warm in here? Yes. All right, let me read again that scripture that Mason read for us. I love this. The Apostle Peter, he wrote this to the church, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people. How about we read it together? You've heard it already. Let's read it together. Join me. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of God for the people of God. Somebody is happy about mercy back there. Can we say thank you, God, for mercy? Come on. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. The heart of worship is priesthood. That's our part in all of this. That's our lifestyle as God worshipers. We're going to talk about what that means. But it's very easy for us in all of our activity to subtly exchange the calling of priesthood for performance. Just performance. And that's when we begin to lose the heart. We risk becoming like the ones Jesus said. He said to the Pharisees, quoting Isaiah, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. If we forget that priesthood is the call, not just performance, not just doing stuff, but it's priesthood, we can become like those people who Jesus said, they're doing these things, but their hearts are far away. So it got me thinking, I just kind of went on a rabbit trail. Anybody else do that? Am I the only one? I got thinking. Sorry, here we go. You ready? Come with me. It got me thinking of when leaders seek out like church consultants to evaluate their ministries, right? And kind of like, what is the guest experience, you know? And sometimes churches will even get like secret church spies. They'll hire somebody. They actually do this. It happens. It's kind of cool. Like a secret shopper. And they will come to worship and like take all these notes. And you kind of don't know when they're going to come. You just kind of, you want to get an honest appraisal of like, how are we doing? You know, and so they look at things like, how were they greeted? And how easy was it to find their way around? How was the signs and the parking? And how safe was the environment for kids? And how friendly was the congregation? You know, did anybody say hi? How was the music? How was the preaching? How was the follow-up? You get the idea, you know? During my first year at the previous church we served in central Pennsylvania, it's about 2018, it's a little while ago now, our conference actually had a church consultant on staff who helped to kind of guide the whole region. And so she was coming through our town, and I said, hey, would you just come to our church, come worship with us, and then just share your notes with me. I'd love to hear anything you observe, anything you see. Like, I'm new there, and I just kind of want to get perspective, you know. And she's like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, come on, bring it on, go for it. So Monday morning, I open up my email, and it's like 57 and a half bullet points. I'm like, okay. You know, it's things like the doors are not really in the best location. Kind of makes everybody sit in the back. You know, you really need a second projector. It's hard to see in there. You need more projecting. The greeter at the door, they handed out bulletins, but there wasn't much hospitality. You really need some broader participation in that praise band. Some folks maybe need to retire. All these things, you know? All kinds of stuff. And most of them were valid. We had a lot of room for growth at that time, and by God's grace, we grew a lot over the years that followed. By the way, I honestly remember only one positive comment in the whole email. She was like, that young woman who gave the announcements, she had such infectious energy. You really got to use her more. That's the only positive. Wasn't the preaching. It was Emily Laser, and she was right. She was right. So I had her do announcements more often after that. That's almost probably the only thing I followed from the email. No, I'm just kidding. We did get a lot out of it. These things are really helpful in their fashion. I mean, they're super helpful. And I know lots of churches that try things like this because you do need to get perspective and kind of every once in a while take stock. How are each of these areas doing? I am all for being intentional with everything. We should absolutely do it all to the best of our ability for God's glory. Otherwise, why are we here? What are we even doing, right? So I'm all for it. But I think you understand what I'm saying in this. I do wonder if sometimes when I look at kind of our, for lack of a better word, American way of doing church sometimes, I wonder if our mindset kind of gets stuck on, like, let's just take the best practices from the hospitality industry, and if we can be as good or better than Disney World, we're just going to grow the kingdom. And that's what we're aiming for. That's what we're doing, you know? Again, I mean, that would be awesome. But our target that we're aiming at, it can shift from like aiming at, look, our purpose is making disciples and reaching the lost. That was Jesus' priority. And we start to more aim at, we just have to do things really, really good. And it can put us in this consumer mindset. It's like the customer's always right. How do we get more people? How do we get bigger buildings and stages and crowds and budgets? As if that's the point instead of just a means to an end to bring people to Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? It can happen. I've been there. I get you, right? I've been there. There was an American pastor who visited churches in northern India in a region where the church was multiplying exponentially. Actually, same region as the church we partner with, but not the same group. Okay. The church was multiplying exponentially here among a previously unreached group of people where it was very, very difficult to reach people for Christ, and there wasn't a lot of missionary success in the past. But for some reason, something was happening, and it was like spreading like wildfire. And this pastor, he wanted to know what was their secret sauce. What's the growth? And he showed up with his own kind of things that he was accustomed to in church, right? And what he was looking for. And he kind of expected there's got to be things they're just really, really good at. Like, they must have really good hospitality here, you know? And he goes to this little church, and it was like, yeah, it was okay. All right. And maybe it's coffee was bad, you know. Maybe it's the preaching. You know, it's probably the preaching. Like, it's just exceptional, mind-blowing, powerful preaching. And he's like, I mean, that sermon was okay. The music wasn't that impressive. And he's like, what is going on? What is causing this? And he started talking to the people. And he realized that every single member of that small church came to worship every Sunday with the sole focus that they were going to practice and share everything they heard between the end of that service and the next Sunday they returned. That small congregation, in its short existence, had already planted 5 churches. Because they understood the priesthood of all believers. That they were all ministers. And in that part of the world, it wasn't the guest experience that was growing the kingdom. Not that that's bad. You can grow the kingdom through that. You can. But what was really working for them was the simple fact that everybody understood that they were all followers of Jesus and they were put on the earth to make followers of Jesus. Declare his praises to the nations. I wonder what our church consultants would do with a church like that. You know what I mean? Like, what would they tell them to do? Like, I mean, everything's not that great, but you're following Jesus and you're doing it. So what do we do? I wonder. I also wonder this. This is a fun thought exercise. What if Jesus showed up one Sunday as our secret church shopper? I do think about this sometimes, like when we're practicing with our praise team and we're getting ready and I'm just thinking through what if Jesus was just sitting right here in the front row? What would he be thinking about all of this? What would he be seeing in our blind spots that we were just totally oblivious to? Walking through that parking lot, walking through those doors. Who would he be paying attention to that we might be ignoring? What would he be wanting to say and do that we might not even get to just because we're kind of busy with so many other things? Like, I wonder. And then I realized, like, I don't actually have to wonder because Jesus is here. And his word is here. So what am I doing? Every time we plan and prepare and gather, we have an opportunity not just to do this for Jesus, but to do it with Jesus. To make space and cultivate a space and experience where we can encounter the Lord God and be aware of what is his heart, what is his priority, what does he want to do in people's lives that day. We have an opportunity not just to do it for Jesus, but to do it with Jesus, to come along with him. The way he said, remember he said, I just do what the Father does. I just do what the Father does. Honestly, I'm still learning how to do that. That's why I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm a learner. I'm a student. I'm still learning, like, how do I really go about my life and my call, my work, my ministry, and kind of do it that way, Jesus. I don't miss the things that you want to do, the things that matter. Yeah. And that's why I want to talk about priesthood today. Thanks for going on that rabbit trail with me. Listen to the scripture again from 1 Peter 2. This time it's the Message translation, always a fresh perspective there. But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak for him, to tell others the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. You are one of the things the church consultants would be saying is I need to retape my microphone. I'm sorry I keep playing with this thing. My tape didn't work out today, but don't worry. We're fine. We're okay. We're good. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation that you may declare his praises. So like all the other things we've talked about in this series, God's holiness, God's presence, God's glory, remembrance, priesthood is another theme that plays a key role throughout Scripture. You can just look at how this idea develops through the whole Bible, how it relates to us today as followers of Jesus. What Peter says here to the church in the book of 1 Peter, he's actually just repeating and quoting what God said to Israel earlier in the Old Testament. God said these things to Israel in Exodus 19 after they had been rescued from Egypt, rescued from captivity, and God was preparing to give the law to Moses on the mountain, right? Big scene in the Bible story, big moment. And he told the Israelites, as he was getting ready to formally establish this covenant with them, he told this group of people that they were a kingdom of priests, chosen and set apart from the nations in order to reveal his glory to the nation. So what is a priest? A priest in Scripture is basically a mediator between God and people. A priest represents God to the people and represents the people to God. A priest is, if you can think about it like this, like a little bridge between heaven and earth. An ambassador of his kingdom. Jesus is referred to in the book of Hebrews as the great high priest. He is the ultimate and perfect mediator between God and humanity. He's fully human, fully God. He's both the minister and the sacrifice once and for all, right? So the whole priestly ministry of Israel was just pointing to the great high priest, the true mediator, who is the Lord and God and Savior. And so now we are his people, the people of Jesus. We bear his name. We carry his presence, and we continue in his ministry together in the world. So we are a royal priesthood, mediating between God and the world to extend his redemption throughout the earth. Paul says that we have a ministry of reconciliation. We're reconciling God and humanity. We're reconciling humanity to one another. We're reconciling heaven and earth. This is our purpose, to be that bridge. And it's not by our own power or cleverness. It's by his Spirit working in and through us, okay? The Bible Project puts it like this: when people imitate Jesus, the royal priest, they become a new humanity living in a way that reunites heaven and earth. I think that's really cool. When I was a young pastor trying to figure out this calling, I first began to serve a church in a pastoral role when I was 21 years old, right out of college. It was really crazy. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just saying yes to God, being like, Lord, I trust you. Pretty much what it felt like every day for a long time. And I had mentors, wonderful people around me, trying to help me understand what is this about. And I remember one time having a conversation as I was first starting to try different things in that pastoral role. They were helping me understand, you know, there is a priestly element to that pastoral call, that people would view me as a representative of God. And you know where I actually realized that most? Hospital visits. When I, little David Laser, would visit somebody who was sick, somebody who was in crisis, I got it. I was there to represent the presence of God. I was there as an ambassador of Christ. And they looked at me, and they looked to me, and they associated me with God. That was my role. Sheesh. But what was even more mind-blowing is when I finally realized this. My job as a pastor is to help everyone in my church realize that they are all called to serve that same purpose in this world. Every disciple of Jesus is part of his kingdom of priests. Peter's not just saying that to the pastors in that church, wherever he was writing to. He's saying, you are a chosen people. You all, plural, are a royal priesthood. Every disciple of Jesus is part of that. We are all called, consecrated, that means set apart, filled with his presence, to go into the world as mediators between God and the people he's pursuing. He's pursuing everybody. As bridges between heaven and earth. This might blow your mind a little bit, but it's actually right there in our mission statement here. Connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers. Do you realize that's priesthood language? we all carry that mission to be bridges, to be mediators, to be representatives, ambassadors of God, be a kingdom of priests. Seek his kingdom in this world. We exist in every dimension of our lives to connect people with God, the God of the universe, the Redeemer, Sustainer, Creator of all things. That's priesthood. So how would it change our lives if we viewed everything like this? How would it change the way we show up at work? How would it change the way we view our home life, the way we parent, the way we neighbor, the way we go through our daily lives, if we remembered that we're priests in this world? When I make the good confession and receive baptism, we have baptism class after church today, we have baptism Sunday coming up in a few weeks. When I go through that and I accept that gift of God and I bear the name of Christ, now I'm part of that. When someone finds out I'm a Christian, they look to me, for better or for worse. Lord, have mercy. Represent Christ. Represent God. We have an amazing opportunity and power within us as redeemed people of Christ to walk into different situations and environments and be a bridge between heaven and earth. Even and especially those dark places where it seems like the kingdom of God is absent, that's exactly where he wants to plant you, to say, no, God is on the throne and we're just going to take his flag and plant it right here and watch how he can use what the enemy intends for evil for good. I mean, that's what we get to do, church. How would it change the way we view our lives if we looked at it like that? And now to bring it full circle, land the plane, how would it change the way we viewed worship? You know, how would it change the way we serve and worship on a Sunday morning if we remembered we are a kingdom of priests? One of the things our worship team's been talking about is what it means to sing and play upward to God. As musicians and as worship leaders, it's natural for us to kind of think about the people out there. We want to serve you well. We want to give our best. We want to connect and inspire. We're thinking about everyone and trying to lead them faithfully and trying to do a good job. But sometimes we end up singing more to the people instead of singing God. And a priesthood mindset means that we're ministering to the people and we're ministering to God. And I just think this is so important and so helpful in whatever area we serve, not just music or whatever it is, but any area we are serving in the body of Christ, is to think, you know, I'm ministering unto God's people and I'm ministering unto the Lord. The ministry to the Lord, it's a ministry to his people. And that will affect how and why you do what you do. And it will help you to be more mindful of, I'm not just doing this for him, I'm doing this with him. I'm paying attention to how he would want to do it. To Jesus, right here in the room, what is he doing? What does he want me to focus on? How does he want me to do this? Because I'm a priest, I'm not just a performer. When a worship team in a congregation starts to sing upward, directly to the heart of God, engaging his presence, instead of focusing on the song or the experience itself, that's when something in the atmosphere changes. We experienced that this morning, didn't we? Did you feel that? That wasn't just fuzzies from good music. That was the presence of God. It changes because God always keeps his promise that he will draw near to us if we draw near to him. He promises, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. He says that he inhabits the praises of his people. So our music and every element of worship, you know, it's meant to be a bridge between heaven and earth. It gives us this opportunity, this whole gathering, to to have a priestly experience where we genuinely connect with the living God so that we can go and connect others with him too. It's that simple. It's that profound. Isn't that awesome? And so here's the really cool thing. This is coming to the end here. We don't just get to sing and play upward. We get to live upward. We live upward. The poet named Fanny Howe, and she said, "I just try to live toward God. I just try to live and think towards God's coming into the world." You can live toward a lot of different things. You can aim your song in a lot of different directions. You know what I'm saying? But being saved and sanctified disciple of Jesus means that you live your life. You sing your song upward, heavenward, Godward. You know, the word says, "Let do everything for the glory of God." Everything you do, eat, work, play, whatever, do it upward, Godward, for the glory of God. And when you do that, whether it's in a worship service or a hospital room or a grocery store or Chick-fil-A, closed on Sundays, when you do that, God draws near. God draws near. The kingdom is revealed. The atmosphere changes. God's mission is to reconcile the earth and heaven. And for some reason, he wants to include us in that plan. And so this is what we do. It's how we live. And so here's the big questions to go with. Have you realized that it's not just the people on stage that do ministry, but all of us are ministers? In one way, shape, or form or another. We don't have the same gifts. We don't have the same spheres of influence, relationships. That's a good thing. We're all different, but we're all ministers. What would it mean to look at your everyday life through the lens of priesthood, to let God use you as a bridge between heaven and earth? And how can we begin to view every part of our life as an opportunity to connect people with Jesus and the new life he offers? Every day is a new opportunity. Every day is a new opportunity. You see, worship is where we come together to practice being those people, to practice being those kinds of people, and so that we can live it out every other day of the week. The heart of worship is not a performance or an experience. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. And I guarantee you're not going to figure it all out once. You just have to find your next step. I want to be like those churches in northern India where we just kind of go, "Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do this week? Help me to do it. Come back again. Help me to take another step. Help me to take another step. Help me to take another step, Jesus. What do you call me to do, Jesus? Help me this week. I feel weak. You're strong. We can do this. Let's go." You know? So let's pray. And I want you to listen. What is your next step? What is he calling you to do? Listen. Lord God, thanks for this awesome calling you've given us. You're so great. We sang it today. We mean it from our hearts, Lord. Thank you for being with us in the room, being with us in our hearts, for being so patient with us when we're just running around doing everything but listening to your voice. Thank you for being so patient with us, but God, help us. Transform us more and more to just be aware of what it means to be that kingdom of priests, those followers of Jesus who, in some small but profound way, we get to be a bridge, a connector between heaven and earth. We get to connect people with Jesus and the new life he offers, Lord. God, may our worship, our song, everything we do, Lord God, may it give you glory, and may it be a part of your bigger plan of advancing your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. As we sing and worship with this final moment together, lay it upon our hearts. You know, what is our next step this week? How do you want us to go out and live that out between this Sunday and next Sunday? We just give you our gratitude today, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.